The Church Media Podcast, episode number 63, Helping Churches Not Suck at the Media with Phil Cook, part one. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions into your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now. At 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Hey friends, hope you're having a great week. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast. Thanks for being here and listening to the show. And thanks for your feedback. We had several emails last week with some great encouragement from church media techs across the country. We appreciate that. And if you want to drop us a line yourself, feel free to email me directly at Carl, C-A-R-L, at 1230media.com. That's the word 12, the word 30, the word media, 1230media.com. Our goal is to help you create dynamic experiences at your church and build a powerful media production team filled with stellar volunteers. We do that by giving you some solid media production training and talking with the best minds in church world, which is so true for who we have on today's show. Phil Cook is one of the nation's leading church media consultants. He is an internationally known writer and speaker. He has produced media programming in more than 50 countries worldwide. He's the executive producer of the new Hillsong movie, Let Hope Rise. He's appeared on NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and his work has been profiled in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Wall Street Journal, the list goes on. He is the author of several books on media and branding, including Branding Faith, Jolt, One Big Thing, and Unique. I've known Phil and his wife, Kathleen, for almost 15 years through the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. They both travel speaking and training churches, nonprofits, and organizations all over the world. Kathleen does a wonderful job of training ladies in churches how to be effective in ministry. They also own and operate Cook Pictures, a production company in Hollywood. This is a powerhouse couple that you guys need to follow. His website is Phil Cook, that's Cook with an E.com, PhilCook.com. Phil is a powerhouse voice in media and programming. And you're going to get a ton of practical advice and insight in the content that he shares today. We're splitting my time with Phil into two parts, so we'll drop part two of my interview with Phil next week on the show, so don't miss that. My interview with Phil Cook moments away, but first, your free church media resource of the week. Check this out.
And now, your church media resource of the week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
This week, we want to let you know about an incredible free resource for your team. The New Spring Network from New Spring Church exists to resource and equip church leaders with resources, coaching, and leadership events. They provide free ministry resources like children's ministry curriculum, sermon series and graphics, and church campus tours. To get access to these free resources and learn more, check out newspringnetwork.com. For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
Hey guys, and welcome on the line, Phil Cook. Phil is an international known writer and speaker. He's produced media programming in more than 50 countries around the world. He's been shot at, fallen out of a helicopter, threatened with prison, and more. Through Cook Pictures, he's helped some of the largest nonprofit organizations and leaders in the world use media to tell their story. Phil, welcome to the podcast, man. Thanks so much for taking the time.
I'm thrilled to be here, Carl. This is fun.
Yeah. Now, you just got out of surgery, right? A couple weeks ago? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I got my nose busted in playing football in high school, and for most of my adult life, I've only breathed through one side of my nose, and I discovered to my shock that most people breathe through both sides.
Really?
So I thought I'd finally go in there and fix that, and it's been they did a little few things to my throat while I was under the knife, so it's been a rough few weeks, but I'm back, ready to go.
Good, man. I hope your health is doing good and you're recovering all right.
Yeah, I'm actually getting oxygen to my brain now for the first time in my adult life, so who knows what might happen.
You might have a new lease on life there.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
All right, so you're a media consultant. You provide content in various forums. You've been doing this for a long time. You like to say that you help churches not suck at the media. I've heard you say that a number of times. All right, so give me an overview of the last few years, what you've gotten to do, and what ministry areas the Lord has allowed you to minister in.
Well, my dream was to be a Hollywood director, and I've directed a ton of stuff all over the world and been involved in some really great projects, but early on, I saw the need that Christians are telling the greatest story in the world. They're just not telling it very well. And my dad was a pastor, so I've been in this for my whole life, working behind the scenes in ministry. And, I've just always noticed that particularly when it comes to media, whether it's television or movies or social media or websites, Christians just don't tell their story well. And I think that's a big part of why we're not engaging the culture more effectively. I joke sometimes that I want to build a museum to bad Christians. TV, I just can't find a building big enough. So we really want to focus. We spend most of our time working with churches, ministries, and nonprofits, helping them, in most cases, develop a strategy for how do we use media to reach a bigger audience? How do we make a bigger impact out there? And that's where our focus is.
All right, so you see a lot of media, a lot of churches producing media. So answer me this, just point blank, why does most Christian media just suck?
Stink. Well, I'm trying to be gracious here. Well, it's not because we're jerks. Everybody's sincere. Everybody's working really hard to try to do it and be genuine. The problem is when it comes to being, the Christian community, most of us get hung up on the message. We're focusing so hard on the message that we don't understand that the way we deliver that message is just as important. I often tell people that how you share a message is just as important as the message you share, particularly in the culture we live in today. I mean, I have 500 channels on my DirecTV. We have billions of web pages. There's so many options in this hyper-kinetic, connected culture we live in. So the point is, I've got to really have a powerful message that'll cut through all that clutter if I'm going to be successful. So it's not just the message anymore that matters. Back in my dad's day when he was a pastor, if you had a great, compelling message, people would listen. But today, there's so much competition, so much distraction, that it takes more than just a great message to get heard. And how we help clients package that, how we help them put it on the right platform, all of these things and more go into creating a message that really does cut through and gets noticed.
So give me the first couple of takeaways. So what are my first steps in making sure that my packaging is just as equal in production value or in value as the actual message?
Well, one of the things we find in most churches when I go into it, and nonprofits and ministries as well, but particularly with churches, when I go into most churches, I discover the pastor's preaching one message on a certain theme. The website has a whole different theme. The social media guys are sharing completely different messages. If they have a TV ministry or a radio ministry, it's doing something different. And what we have in advertising, we've been involved in Super Bowl commercials over the years and some major level advertising, and we've discovered what we call the impression scale, which means you've got to see a certain number of Nike commercials or print ads or radio spots before you decide, you know what, I'm going to go out and buy those shoes. And so if a church is sharing different messages on all of its platforms, it's never going to have that kind of impression out there. So what I do is wrangle everybody together, get them all around the table, and make sure we're aiming all of our guns in the right direction. When the pastor comes up with a new theme for the next six messages, I want to make sure that's being reflected in social media, make sure it's being reflected with the website and in Facebook pages, other things, in videos, short videos that we do. If he's doing TV or radio, we want to reflect it in that. That amplifies that message so much, and people hear it on multiple platforms in different ways and different times of day, and that's when you actually start making an impact. So one of my big things with churches, the first step is making sure everybody's on the same page, everybody's sharing the same message.
So you've produced content for a lot of churches. Is it better for a church to spend money to buy high quality content or produce it themselves or a little bit of both? Depending on their skill level, what would you suggest there?
Yeah, when you start out, I suggest that you find somebody on the outside. You know, it could be a local freelancer. It could be a company like us, because you're not sure exactly what you want to do. And so to go out and spend a bunch of money on equipment that you may find out 6 months later was not the right equipment is a real mistake. Very often, the first efforts of doing television or the first efforts of launching a radio program or different kinds of media is an experiment. You're really trying to figure out and even it comes to social media. What's the pastor comfortable with? What's the social media team comfortable with? And more important, what's your audience comfortable with? Who are you trying to reach, and what do they use? You want to experiment a little bit. So I always recommend, and we do this with many clients, the first few months we help them create commercials or promos or short videos. Keep in mind now, short videos have become the single greatest marketing force in America. More bandwidth is taken up on the internet now by short, and I'm talking 2 to 4 minute videos, both in secular marketing and in nonprofit or Christian marketing. Sharing a compelling story through a short video has become extraordinarily compelling and extraordinarily successful. And so whatever it is, I recommend that let us do the first few. We can create a template. We can show your guys how to do it. And then once you get comfortable and you know this is the direction we want to go, if you're going to be in this for the long haul, then you might start thinking about, okay, how do we set up a little studio? How do we, you know, should we start buying cameras? What kind of computers we need? What kind of software should we use? We help clients do that all the time.
So what communicates? Does everything communicate? Does a little bit communicate? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, one of the things living in a distracted digital culture is everything communicates. In fact, even when you're not communicating, you're communicating a message. It's interesting you say that, because there's some research that's come out just in the last few months that because we're so distracted, because we're so pulled in different directions, there's research that indicates when you meet someone for the first time, you decide what you think of that person within the first 4 to 8 seconds. Now, you don't get to know much about a person in 4 to 8 seconds, but we've just decided as a culture, we've just gotten used to the iPhone yanking us in this direction, the TV in that direction, social media in that direction, our jobs in another direction, that we make decisions quickly. So in those kind of cases, and it's true of experience as well. So what that means is, I tell a pastor, I'm glad your message is a powerful message. I'm glad it's anointed. I'm glad your worship is fantastic. I'm glad your church is a great community. But in a world where people are making decisions within 4 to 8 seconds, what does your lobby look like? You know, what is your parking lot experience? Do people get frustrated finding a place to park? I went into a church not long ago, and they were concerned about safety. So you walk in, the first thing you see is a 5-foot-high security desk with big old video monitors and guys with suits and badges. And then there was a couple armed security guys in uniform standing in the lobby. You felt like walking into this church, you were walking into TSA. And so many times churches just don't take the time to feel, what does that new visitor experience when he walks in? What does he think about when he walks in? What does he see? People are making decisions quickly. And so even though we hope everything you do is extraordinary, you have to think these days about those first 4 to 8 seconds. What's the first thing that people encounter when they engage with your organization?
So I find that often as well. I take my family about two times a month or so. We'll go and visit a production team or go around and coach and train teams. And I usually take my family with me if it's local. And usually on the debrief, they'll ask me, hey, what are some things that we could do better or fix or whatever? And I said, most of the time it has nothing to do with production. It's, I had no clue how to check my family in to the kids area. We're a young family.
Yeah.
I had no clue how to do that. Nobody greeted me. Nobody showed me where to go, how to do what. That was, and we were late to service, or we were, you know, we couldn't get to where we needed to get to because that process. So I see that all the time, and it has nothing. And I'm already gone, no matter how high the production quality is. I'm already frustrated.
That's a great line. I went to a church not long ago, and they advertised in the paper as a family church. Everything they do is a family church. You walk in the door, the first thing you see is a big sign that said, children are not welcome in the sanctuary. And so that completely undercuts all of their advertising, all of their marketing. It's just nuts. And you're exactly right, and I'm sure you've seen everything. My thing is this. I don't care how awesome your service is or how wonderful your church is or great your people are. If a potential new visitor walks up and meets a grumpy usher, that's the perception they will have of your church.
Yep.
Because that's the first person they've met. That's the first experience they've had, and that will stay with them.
So
I counsel church communication directors. I'm not just interested in you being a part of the video that goes out or the new website or the social media. I want you to have a hand in what the ushers are telling people.
Right.
I want to share that message in every possible avenue
of
the church.
Whole experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk brand. Define what a brand is for, especially it relates to church.
Well, particularly in that 4 to 8 second world where people are making decisions really quickly, brands become something you need to consider. A brand, and in my book, Unique, Telling Your Story in the Age of Brands and Social Media, I talk about a brand as kind of a that initial perception. What do people think of when they think of you? Some people say it's, you know, what people say about you when you're out of the room. It's the idea that people are making decisions quickly and, you know, understand that a brand is not what you say you are. It's what they say you are. So everybody has a brand. You have a brand. I have a brand. Oprah has a brand. Ford Motor Company has a brand. Your church has a brand. Because it's that perception. What do people think of when they think of you? So in this incredibly distracted world, we want to do everything we can to influence that perception in a really, really positive way. So in the business, we pull that term from the business world. We call it a brand or branding. But it's not complicated. You know, it's funny, when I wrote my first book on it, Branding Faith, a number of years ago, it was really the first book that dealt with the issue of branding in the context of a church or a ministry. Since then, we've seen just a ton of branding agencies pop up and bloggers and people who are brand experts in church and ministry, in the church and ministry world. It's almost become a religion out there. And I sometimes think we're making too big a deal about it. Really, it's simply understanding that you have a perception. People are making a decision about you quickly, and we need to do everything we possibly can to influence that perception in a positive way.
So you've had a number of years helping produce traditional media and then all media in various forms. So is the traditional style of media dying, or what do you think about Christian media? Where do you think that's headed?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny that I just read some research recently that people are not migrating from the TV to the web as quickly as we thought. Certainly the web is the future. Certainly social media and websites and the online world and things like that are the future. However, back in the early days of live presentations, movies didn't displace live presentations. Radio didn't displace movies. Then TV came along. Well, guess what? It didn't get rid of radio. And now when the online world's coming on, the internet is not getting rid of television. What we discover is media changes, but each finds its own level. There are still vibrant radio ministries out there, and I have Sirius satellite radio in my car. You know, they give it to you free for 3 months when you get a new car, and it's like crack. You know, I'd do whatever. I'd pay anything it cost to keep that because I get so addicted to it. It's fantastic. 70 or 80 channels of all kind of stuff. And so we discovered that traditional media hasn't gone away. We just know how to use it more effectively. And the truth is, to reach the maximum amount of people, television has to be an incredibly important part of that mix. That's why media time for the Super Bowl or major football games or the Grammy Awards or the Oscars, it all goes up. It's higher than ever. So yeah, television is not going away, and I think if you're serious about reaching a great number of people with the gospel, we have to consider in some way keeping television in that mix.
And I would say that I'm a millennial, and my wife and I are going to plop in front of the TV, but we're also going to have our cell phone out, our laptop on our lap, our iPad, and we're going to interact, or we'll be watching TV in the background and have that in the foreground, or we're watching something like America's Got Talent or something like that, where we're interacting and talking about the content that we're watching in our lap.
That's a great
do you have any thoughts there?
Well, absolutely. And also thinking, you know, I travel way more than most people should just because of the nature of my job, but when I'm on airplanes, people are watching stuff on their iPad or their computer, but you know what? They're watching TV programs that were made for broadcast TV, or they're watching movies. So even though they're actually looking at it on an iPad or on a computer or even on a phone, they're watching programs that were actually made for broadcast TV or the movie theater. So that means we still have to think about those things. And you're right about multi-platforms. I always advocate that if you're doing a television show, you need to have some kind of a vibrant outreach through online as well, because you're right. People watching that TV show are sitting there with their iPhone or their iPad. The Olympics did a great job on NBC this year on DirecTV, which is what I have in my home. Every time you turned it on, a red box would show up in the lower left corner saying, for more information about the Olympics, click here, and you click there, and it sends you to a website that has who's won the latest medals, what the tally is, all the background information that you might be looking for, so you could follow along on your phone or your iPad or whatever. So you're exactly right. People are watching now on a multitude of platforms. We just have to think about that more.
So do you think our Sunday morning experiences, our worship services, live events are going that direction too? What I mean by that is more interactive, and how should we lean into that interactivity? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that comes in that category is what we call live streaming. And a lot of churches are doing extraordinarily well streaming their service live. For instance, we've got clients that are making as much as this will sound crass, but we've got clients that their live stream audience is so integrated into the life of the church. The church is making as much as a third of their total income just from their live stream audience. And we teach our clients to view your live stream as a multi-site campus. These are people from all over the world who have come together online to watch your Sunday service week after week. I spoke at a pastor's conference in the Midwest the other day, and a pastor came up to me and said, I preach to 700 people in my congregation, but he said, every week I have 10,000 people that come online to watch my live stream. So we're just finding that if you can really engage your live stream audience, make them feel like they're part of the congregation, they can become a really solid part of your ministry. So, and a lot of pastors are still thinking, the old way of, well, if I do a live stream, nobody will come to my church. Well, trust me, we're way, way past that. We have a live stream at our church here in L.A. And when my wife and I are on the road, we always tune in and watch the service if we can't be there. Also, you'll find transient members of your congregation, students who go home for the summer or go away to school. Other people who get transferred will love to want to keep in touch with you and hear your messages on the live stream every week. So it can be a really, really powerful tool if you can really use it effectively.
Yeah. All right, so what are some of the top things that pastors and media leaders are telling you that they struggle with?
Well,
how long do we have?
I know. We did a little psychological counseling here. I think, obviously money's a big thing. That's always a deal. But when it comes to my area, I think what a lot of pastors struggle with is their leadership team. It's tough at a local church finding media professionals who are good at what they do that get social media. Just because Susan has a Facebook account doesn't mean she's capable of being your social media director. Or just because Bob works at Best Buy on the weekends doesn't mean he should be your video guy. We need to treat media in a professional way if we're going to impact the culture around us and make an impact in the community. So a lot of pastors struggle to find the right fit for people who do that. And I always encourage them, find a church you admire, find a church that's doing it well, go talk to them, ask them how they found the right people. There may be people in your local community that would love to be a part of that. The other thing is do a survey of your congregation. We work with a church up in San Jose, wonderful, wonderful church. One day the pastor said, I don't really know what everybody in my congregation does for a living. So they did a survey. Lo and behold, they found out they had like 17 dentists in their church. So the pastor invited them over to his house for dinner one night, said, guys, What can we do with this? We're up 17 dentists. What can we do? They launched the largest free dental clinic in the San Francisco Bay Area. And once a month, this dental clinic meets absolutely free for homeless people, people that are struggling, low-income people. It's made a huge impact in the San Francisco Bay Area, got enormous newspaper coverage, incredible publicity for the church. So all just from stopping to think, who is actually in my congregation? There's another one in Vancouver, I think it is, that found out they had a bunch of hairdressers. So they started a ministry to homeless women. And they said, you know what? It may sound silly to a guy, but you have no idea how much, how wonderful it will make a homeless woman feel to have a trip to the beauty salon. So they go down to Skid Row and help homeless women, give them a complete makeover. And little oddball ministries like that that you'd never think of, if you just think about who's in my congregation and what could we do that would impact our community, you have no idea the kind of publicity, the kind of buzz, the kind of effectiveness you could have in coming out of all that.
That's good. That's a great idea. Okay, so the number one question that I get when I go out to churches, and it's partly because I am a millennial, but is how do you reach millennials? And one thing that I tell them is not all millennials are in the concert-driven church camp. A lot of them are, but and a lot of them are not just after the inspirational speaker either. A lot of them want grounded biblical teaching. So talk to me about this. What are your thoughts?
That's exactly right. It's funny. Baby boomers were really the ones that started the concert church experience because we love rock shows. We came out of the 60s. We love rock shows. And so it's natural that kind of drug into the church world for good or for bad. And I think there's a little of both on both sides. Yeah. What we're finding with a lot of millennials is they do like the smells and the bells. They like the traditional service. My youngest daughter can't stand the mega church. She wants to go into a small, more intimate, ancient, if you will, worship experience. And so we are finding they're out worshiping in different ways. We're also discovering that people are going more toward they're looking for more serious Bible teaching. I have a number of churches we work with where the pastor is literally a verse-by-verse Bible teacher, and he'll preach for an hour or more on Sunday. There's one in L.A., one church here in Los Angeles, that's made up of about 2,020-somethings. I mean, most of my staff goes there. When I go visit the church, I'm the oldest guy at the congregation, it feels like, and he'll preach for more than an hour on Sunday, and these guys eat it up. So we're finding that the millennial generation can be very, very serious about the Bible. So I'd encourage pastors to explore. I do think the age of pastor as motivational speaker is done. I think people are ready to move past that, and they're ready to get really serious about the Bible. So there's some extraordinarily good things happening out there.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get exclusive content for your team online now at 1230media.com.
In 2007, when I wrote Branding Faith, social media was just starting to begin. But today we live in a completely different world. Today, social media really runs the planet. A Maasai tribesman in the middle of Africa today has access to more information through a cell phone than the President of the United States did just 15 years ago. In fact, Facebook today is, by population, the third largest country in the world, just behind China and India. Who's sending missionaries to that country? Who's planting churches in that country? So I went back and I rewrote Branding Faith to include the social media world, because truly, branding is about telling your story. In the book, I describe branding as a compelling story that surrounds a person, a product, or an organization. What do people think of when they think of you? The fact is, people will walk away from your church, from your ministry, from your organization, or from you faster than ever, because there are so many other choices. I think Branding Faith has been the most important book I've ever written, and I'm really excited about the updated new version. This information may be the most important thing churches can possibly consider today, because how we connect with a culture can change everything.
Hey guys, you can follow Phil on Twitter at Phil Cook, and you can check out his website, read his blog, find his books and more at Phil Cook, that's Cook with an E, philcook.com. You can also get complete show notes, transcripts, links, and more on our website at 1230media.com/063, as in episode number 63. And we've curated that whole list of Phil's contact information, all of his books. All that info is right there on the show notes page for this episode. Again, 1230media.com /063, as in episode number 63.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, part two of my interview with Phil Cook. Next week, we're going to talk about faith-based films in Hollywood. And I hit Phil with a lightning round of rapid-fire questions on where to find creative ideas, the biggest mistakes church leaders make, convincing your pastor to catch a vision for media, and more. So much fun and very practical content. Be sure to check that out next week on the show. I want to thank my producer, David Michael Hyde. David is a composer and producer for film and digital media. Check him out today at davidmichaelhyde.com. Thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this Sunday. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
Catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.